I just heard a goat scream in the background. I don't know if that's going to make it through. You get crickets, goats, ducks. There's a wide variety of screechy birds out here right now. We have a peregrine falcon that is settled in the tree outside our window that screeches all night long.
Well, we'll see if any of those sounds make it into the episode today.
Yeah. Live from the farm, it's the Humanizing Work Show. Job number one for leaders is creating clarity. Who are our customers? What outcomes are we trying to create for them? Why does that work matter? How are we going to make it happen? In other words, customer segmentation, purpose, vision, and strategy.
Crafting and communicating purpose and vision are key capabilities we emphasize in all of our leadership training. A leader who can engage their team in a meaningful purpose and vision will very likely struggle to build a cohesive, aligned group. However, one of our favorite case study organizations features a CEO who never talks about purpose and vision and openly dismisses the importance of strategy. In fact, the way he puts it is, quote, "I think strategy just gets in the way of us doing our job." Now, this case study organization is a massively successful one. They've scaled rapidly. They've taken over almost all of the market share in their sector. And we study it because it's also highly human-centric. It's a best of both worlds organization, successful and healthy. So the CEO's disdain for purpose, vision, and strategy seems counterintuitive. It's a bit of a leadership curveball. It goes against almost all the standard advice, including the advice we typically share. In this episode, we'll tell you more about this company, including why the typical approach to purpose and strategy don't make sense for them, and we'll see what lessons we can learn from their approach.
Before we get into it, though, a quick reminder that this show is a free resource sponsored by the Humanizing Work Company, where we help organizations get better at leadership, product management, and collaboration. Visit the contact page on our website, humanizingwork.com, and schedule a conversation with us if your organization wants to see stronger results in those areas. And if you want to support the show, the best thing you can do if you're watching on YouTube is subscribe to the show, like and share the episode, click the bell icon to get notified of new episodes, and drop us a comment with your thoughts on today's topic. If you're listening in your podcast app, the best thing you can do is give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform and share the episode along with your thoughts and questions on your social media.
Okay, Richard, enough teasing. The company we refer to in the intro is called Buurtzorg, which is a home healthcare provider that was started in the Netherlands in 2006. Buurtzorg's founder and CEO, Jos de Blok, is a former nurse whose career had progressed into middle management for another healthcare provider. He was frustrated with the layers of bureaucracy and the levels of control over the nurses, and so he decided to leave that company and founded Buurtzorg, which in Dutch translates to neighborhood care. The core idea of Buurtzorg is that nurses are highly trained professionals who care deeply about doing good work for their patients. They don't need a lot of layers of management telling them how to do their job. So Buurtzorg was founded with a single team of nurses providing in-home healthcare for a single neighborhood. That team of nurses had complete autonomy to do things like hire and fire, set salaries, determine procedures, decide how much time to spend with the patient, and what follow-up to provide. That first team was successful, and they made a profit. And more nurses, similarly frustrated with their current employer's bureaucracy, wanted to join. So they spun up a second team in a different neighborhood and provided the same level of autonomy to that team. That process continued, and 18 years later, Buurtzorg has grown to more than 900 neighborhood-based teams, each with 10 to 12 nurses. Those teams have similar autonomy as that original team. It's a bit like a franchise model, with the exception that the teams don't need to buy into Buurtzorg and kick back a large portion of their profits. Other companies that scale at that rate usually grow large layers of management, processes, and oversight along with the size of the company, but not at Buurtzorg. The home office for the company of over 10,000 people is around 100 people who are helping with things like keeping track of the books, maintaining an intranet site, and providing coaching resources for the teams when they need it. So what benefit would Buurtzorg get from Jos de Blok standing up and trying to rally the nurses with an "Our Patients Matter" purpose or vision statement? What does strategy look like for this kind of organization? It's no surprise de Blok says it would just get in the way. In fact, research on motivation suggests that any external version of purpose and strategy would likely demotivate since the nurses are already highly intrinsically motivated. Instead, the purpose, vision, and strategy of Buurtzorg are all internally focused. Bjorgsorg exists to provide an environment that gets out of the way of nurses. That's their purpose. Their strategy is to offer nurses the opportunity to start a new team in a neighborhood that's not already being served by another Bjorgsorg team. It's organic, like the way cells divide in our body. Now, research conducted by Bill Adams and Bob Anderson, creators of the Leadership Circle model, shows that the leadership competency most highly correlated with overall effective leadership is being purposeful and visionary. This capability rallies people, helps prioritize, and gives meaning to the work. So we don't discount it. But Bjorgsorg's nurses didn't need someone else to rally them. They needed someone like DeBlock to say, my purpose and vision is to create an organization that gets out of the way of nurses and lets them do what they love to do.
I think the theory of constraints helps explain why DeBlock's approach works. The theory of constraints essentially says for any given goal of a system, there's one thing that limits how much of that goal you get, one constraint. And that constraint is where you should focus on improvement. Of course, as you resolve one constraint, another constraint pops up behind that one. So the theory of constraints suggests a process of ongoing improvement, resolving one constraint after another. I think the reason being purposeful and visionary is so highly correlated with effective leadership is that the constraint before all other constraints in most business systems is getting alignment on what the goal of the system even is. Without that, everyone's pulling in different directions. It's unclear what to change or improve. Of course, that's not going to produce good results. So if you can enroll everyone in the same purpose and vision, all the downstream improvement and activity is going to be aligned. Most leaders need to put deliberate effort towards this. Most companies could do any number of different things, and different people in the company are going to have different ideas of what's important. So leaders' number one job is creating clarity and alignment out of all that chaos. At Bjorgsorg, though, they get purpose and vision for free. What's our purpose? What outcome are we trying to create? The health of the people in the neighborhood we serve. What's our strategy? Provide the healthcare this particular group of people needs. How are we doing on that? Well, are the people in our neighborhood getting healthier? In healthcare, especially local healthcare like this, purpose isn't usually the constraint. It's obvious to the people in the system. The constraint is more likely to be related to capability and to systems. Do people have what they need to do the job well? Do systems make it easier or harder to do the right thing? So Bjorgsorg rightly focuses there. I kind of laugh at the phrase, the exception that proves the rule, but I think this actually is the perfect case. Bjorgsorg can ignore purpose, vision, and strategy, or at least de-emphasize them, not talk about them much, precisely because their context and their org structure gets them easy alignment on purpose, vision, and strategy.
The other example that comes to mind is a meme I saw from a teacher friend. The meme has a photo of a teacher in a classroom looking exasperated and a caption that reads, quote, "When your school superintendent tells you to remember your why." It's the same situation as DeBlock and the nurses. In many schools, teachers don't need to remember their why. They need their administration to get out of their way and let them teach.
Do you have Bjorgsorg level alignment on purpose, vision, and strategy in your org? Does everyone know why you do what you do, what it'll look like when you're successful, and how you'll make it happen together? If not, and if you're a leader, building that clarity is your job number one.
Want some help as you do that? Join our next public leadership series or contact us to talk through the options for customized in-house training for a group of leaders in your org. Visit humanizingwork.com to learn more. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. It's farm-to-table service here at the Humanizing Work Show.